ready to laugh your ass off.
I don't think this is quite normal.
It's the lesbian
It's true. It's true. It is the Lesbian Lounge. That's right. And Happy New Year. My goodness. It is January 6th already. So we're a little bit lacking. I know we're behind. We've got all kinds of stuff that we need to get into, especially the Golden Kitty Awards, which if you have suggestions, we would love to hear them because it is a battle coming up with that witty categories and winners on our own. So if you have suggestions, do email us at deniseanddonna@gmail.com. Very simple. Category, suggestion, winner, whatever you want. Just let us know, and you know us. We'll throw it right in the mix without hesitation. So Happy New Year. Like I said, it is, it's New Year's here, and it's a new year. It is 2015. Poof. A lot going on. A lot going on. We're going to jump right in because it is, it's been a little crazy. First of all, everybody's been sick. I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems like everybody has been really sick. Sick as a dog. My mom's got the flu. I had the flu. Oh, just when was it? Just before Christmas, I came down with a wicked flu, and I haven't had the flu in probably 5 years. I completely forgot what it was like to be leveled by a virus, because that's pretty much what it was. I was in bed for a couple of days, and I mean, like, in bed, needed to get weighted on hand and foot because I couldn't even get up. It was brutal. The coughing, the fever, the chills, the bone-rattling shakes. And I think a lot of it's just going around. I read somewhere it's like epidemic portions at this point. So it was a little bit rough rolling into... I started feeling better just around Christmas. And that's... I was so happy. Like, the last thing I wanted to do was feel shitty over Christmas. And I did really good. I was in Florida the first week of December. And I had a blast. Got to see Julie. Got to hang out with Donna, by the way, who isn't here. And we will get into that in just a moment. I'm sure you know this just by looking at Facebook. But anyway, so I was in Florida the first week of December. And I got to see all of our folks, pretty much. Except for the SheMag girls, who I missed. I think they were out of town. So I'm sorry about that. But Donna, Vicky, Deb, Julie, Rob, and Gemma and I went. We stayed, of course, with my mom. Did a record amount of shopping. And when I say record amount, I'm not even exaggerating and I'm not joking. I've never seen people shop like my mom and Gemma, especially when they get together. It's like they bring it out in both of them. It's really weird. But anyways, they are champion shoppers, and which was good because we bought new luggage. Like, our luggage wasn't, we thought because we were only going for 7 days that we didn't have to bring big luggage, but we didn't factor in the fact that we were going to shop like mad people. So we ended up having to donate our luggage to Goodwill and buy new bags, bigger bags. That's hideous and true. So it was good. It was good to see everybody. It's kind of like an early holiday treat for me because I get a little bit down in the dumps around Christmas here in England, and for no other reason, just because I'm so used to spending it with my big, loud, obnoxious, fun family, all together. So it's just the two of us, Gemma and I, here. And not that I don't appreciate that, because I do. I'm grateful for that, and I love spending the holidays with her because she actually has time off and she's home and we cook together and eat together and pick out silly movies and do all kinds of coupley stuff. And that's awesome. And then we're in our own little house. Like, what more could you ask for? So that's pretty cool. But again, I just get a little bit melancholy because I'm missing everybody But what we did was on Christmas Eve we went to TGI Fridays, which as you guys know, we pretty much celebrate everything at TGI Fridays. And I feel like I have to explain this a little bit because when we got married back in 2010, we were in Canada. We were on the Canadian side of the Niagara Falls border, and our hotel overlooked the falls. And we got married right there with a celebrant in our room with just Hazel and my mom as witnesses. And afterward, my mom said, because it's a little bit early, let me take everybody to brunch and we'll celebrate, because later on, the reception isn't until like 7 o'clock. So my mother took, we went downstairs and we really didn't know any restaurants or anything, you know, or what we were doing because we're so accustomed to being on the American side. But when we stepped outside, the first thing we saw was a TGI Fridays. So we went in there, and that was pretty much how we had some top shelf mojitos and some starters. And we spent the afternoon kind of getting a little bit of a buzz on. So that's pretty much how that's become, you know, the gauge for how we celebrate things. So for our wedding anniversaries, we go to the TGI Fridays. It's here. It's got a little bit of nostalgia. It's a little American. It's here in England. It's got all the components to make it a nice little celebration. So we pretty much do TGI Fridays for anything. And their drinks are huge. I mean, what more could you ask for? A tank of booze. So we spent Christmas Eve having a couple of drinks at Fridays. Hazel and Gemma and myself went on Christmas Eve, and the drink of choice this time around, Hazel was drinking Long Island iced teas. And just between us, I noticed that the Brits over here really enjoy Long Island iced tea, and I think it's because they feel like they're getting their money's worth. And we'll get into this a little bit more because we had drinks later on in December with a group, and it seemed like everybody was pounding the Long Islands. And maybe it's like, so say for 25 bucks, for 25 pounds, you're going to indefinitely, I mean, without a doubt, get tanked. You're going to feel it. And maybe if you're drinking wine, it takes a little bit more, or if you're, you know, drinking a wussy drink like an amaretto sour or something like that, it's going to take a few more. Maybe you're spending a little bit more to get your buzz back. I do think that they enjoy a lot. Maybe they don't even enjoy the taste, but they like the fact that they're going to get a shine on for a 20 pound note, pretty much. So anyways, Hazel was sticking with the Long Island iced teas, and Gemma went with a bubblegum daiquiri. I went with a whiskey sour first round. And they brought over Gemma's, and I was, first of all, I was intrigued. Anything that looks like a pink slushy, I was all about that. And then I tasted it, and it really did taste like a bubblegum. Like, it tasted like bubblegum. So the next round, I ordered one too. And when the waitress brought them back, she brought a packet of Pop Rocks, and she sprinkled those on top and said, "I'm so sorry, I didn't realize that these were supposed to be decorated or garnished with a little tap of Pop Rocks on top." So that made it really interesting. As they melt into the ice, into the liquid, they start crackling in your face, and of course you're, you know, kind of licking them off the top and everything. And so that was quite enjoyable. There's nothing like Pop Rocks in a drink that tastes like bubblegum. So I don't even know how many we had, but we had quite a few. Unfortunately, we had booked a car service there and back. But the thing was, we went early because we didn't want to get caught in any kind of crowds. So we were home, I would say, by like 6:30 or 7. And we had a massive buzz. And we ended up, Hazel went back home, Gemma and I came back to our house. And I think we just like looked at each other and we did like the Joey Chandler thing with the Barca loungers and just like hit that crank and went back and went, oh, and then because we were full too, and just like ended up taking a nap. That's what we did on Christmas Eve. Ridiculous. But there were so many UK TV specials on, so we were super thrilled that Stella, Ruth Jones from Gavin and Stacey, who played Nessa, has a new show called Stella that's been on. I think this is like its third season, maybe third or fourth season. Completely different character. It all takes place up in Pontybury, a fictional town in Wales, and it's very cute. And it's called Stella, and we were super excited that there was a Stella Christmas special. So that was fun. So we watched that, And then, of course, we watched a little bit of Alan Carr. And that was it. And then we were really anxious kind of to go to sleep because we couldn't wait to get up and open up presents on Christmas Day. We have a tradition where Hazel comes over. We have to wear our pajama bottoms t-shirts, but we have to have pajama bottoms on. So we all had our pajama bottoms on and t-shirts. And actually, we end up wearing like hoodies and stuff because it was actually pretty cold, pretty chilly Christmas morning. So, anyways, Hazel comes over with her bag of gifts and we add them to ours under the tree. And then Gemma is the Christmas elf and she doles them all out. And we have tea and croissants and we didn't have Bucks Fizz this year. We didn't have mimosas or anything. We just stuck with tea. And I think we didn't want to end up crashed out on Barca Loungers again. So we had tea and croissants and then we opened up our gifts and it was pretty quiet. And then Hazel pops off to her mom's and then to see her family. And then from there, she goes to over to the Glovers and she hangs out with the godchildren. Because honestly, I mean, it's really kids that make Christmas, I have to say. They make the holiday season, honestly. So, and it's weird not having any. So it's fun that we get to at least do New Year's with them. So Christmas Day itself was a little bit quiet. After the frenzy of gift opening and is all over with, Gemma and I, we watched Elf, we took naps, then we woke up, pretty much ready for the day at that point, like midday, like, I don't know, 1-2 o'clock. It's crazy. Showered and everything, straightened up a little bit because it was still a little bit of a madhouse with the cats going for the wrapping paper and bows and all that kind of stuff. And we had, I don't know, like picky things for lunch, I think it was, which was okay. And then we cooked Christmas dinner, which was very simple this year. Gemma had a little vegetarian roast, and I had chicken breasts, and I just roasted chicken breasts, and she made those nice roaster potatoes that are crunchy on the outside and soft and fluffy on the inside. Very good. Gravy and vegetables, and a really nice apple cinnamon tart for dessert. So that was lovely. It was kind of a simple dinner, like a regular roast, Sunday roast, but it was Christmas dinner, and it was nice. It felt weird not having Brussels sprouts, and I really couldn't get past that. We just forgot to get them, oddly enough, in all the shopping. We just forgot to get Brussels sprouts. I know, it's so stupid. So that was a little bit strange. Anyways, it was just a nice simple dinner. And then you guys, I don't know if you know, but they do a ton of Christmas Day specials here in the UK. So it was all about a little Downton Abbey. Miranda, you guys know how much I love what I call Miranda. The show with Miranda Hart. It's been one of my favorites since I moved here. So funny. And this was the series finale. Not a season, but that's it. No more Miranda. So they had to wrap it up in two episodes. So Christmas Day was the first of two where Miranda chooses either Gary or Mike, I think, to be her husband. So it was really good. So that was fun. And Downton Abbey was a wonderful Christmas special. And I know that it's just started, I think, went on January 4th over in the States. You guys are going to love it. It was a really good season. It was a little bit faster paced. It seemed like there was a lot happening, especially in the first episode or two. So you're probably already there by now with the first episode. There's a lot of subplots and it's really, really good. So I know that you're going to really enjoy that season. So good for you. But we got to see the wrap up, the Christmas special, which was awesome. And then, I don't know if we've talked about this in years past, but the lovely Kirsten Arnold over here, her birthday, is really close to New Year's. I think it's December 30th. But, we knew that, Jana and Anna, whose wedding we went to in July, and they're the reverse situation that me and Gemma are. Jana is from the States and Anna is from here, over near Bath in, here in England. And they are married, and Anna has moved to San Francisco with Jana. Well, they were here for the holidays visiting Anna's family. And then they were actually spending, I think, New Year's in Venice, Italy. So they asked if they could stay down by us because we're closer to the airport. So they were in town, and Kirsten had coordinated a nice little get-together at a place called Benugo, which is right inside the BFI at South Bank at the British Film Institute. So we had a nice little room to ourselves, and it was, God, it was Kirsten and I think three or four people from the BBC where she works, Fred and Claire, Kirsten's friend Lorraine, and their foster daughter, who is now, I think, 21. Her name is Leela. They were there. Anna and Jana, me, Hazel, Gemma, and then this, we call her Portsmouth Wendy, who we sat with at Anna and Jana's wedding. So, and that was like a big surprise that she came in from Portsmouth. So it was really fun. We had the room to ourselves. We had kind of like our own bartender who was fantastic. I believe his name was Jimmy. He was serving the drinks all night. And again, the BBCers were pounding the Long Island iced teas. Whew. So everybody was pretty tanked. You know, we had a couple of munchies and everything. The place is very cool, very trendy. You know, it's... they have little rooms that were kind of like studies set up with, you know, books and mismatched chairs and sofas and tables and stuff. And it was really cool. It was a nice night out. It was freaking cold, but it was fun. And then Anna and Jana were staying at Hazel's, and who was, because she's off, she was going to give them a lift to Heathrow the next day. And I went with them for the ride and to see them off to Venice for New Year. So it was really cool to get to see them. They're awesome people. And we had a really good time at their wedding, and we keep up with them on Facebook, and that was a good in-betweener, you know, in between Christmas and New Year's. That was a really fun thing. So, and it was also Anna's birthday as well as Kirsten, so we had a lot to celebrate and a lot to drink to, that's for sure. So that was fun. And then on New Year's Eve, we spent at Hazel's house, so she had the Glover family, and that's her, all her godchildren, and Tim and Charmaine, come in, and we just did, like, a ton of appetizers, really good stuff, too. We went to this place in Banston called Cook, and everything is pre-made, which is really cool, and you just buy them frozen, pop everything in the oven, tell everybody that you made all these awesome hors d'oeuvres and entrees and stuff. I've talked about this place before. It's actually, I love the concept. It takes the burden off of anybody that is hosting something because the food is absolutely delicious. It tastes and feels like homemade. So we got a ton of appetizers, Stilton and fig tarts and cranberry and brie puff pastry. Trying to think of some of the other things. Salmon mousse with prawns and lemon. All kinds of good stuff, even like chicken tenders. So it was super fun, and we played a rousing couple of rounds of Heads Up. I don't know if you guys have this app on your phone. It's a really fun game. Donna and I played it on the air on the last show, but the kids loved it. We played one with food, thinking it would be really simple, but you know, because it's an American based game, there were some things that were really tough on the Brits. Like relish was a tough one because. You know, like pick a lily is their version of relish, kind of. But they did really good. But the kids, I mean, Mackenzie is maybe 10 or 11, I think. And Worcestershire sauce came up. So we're like, oh, geez, I don't know if she's going to get this one. And her mom goes, it's the purple bag of Walker's crisps. And she was like, Worcestershire. Like, totally nailed it. But it's really fun. It's a loud, fun game. We had a really good time with them. I don't know who bought it, but there was this ginormous Christmas cracker that was, I swear, if you look on my Instagram, I think I have a picture of Mackenzie holding it. She needs two hands to hold the box. I mean, it's that big. And so this enormous Christmas cracker, and all the kids, you know, took part, even Gemma kind of like supervising, because we didn't know like how big the pop was going to be or anything. We read all the directions and stuff. So the kids pull apart the cracker, and there was a ton of gifts inside. And one of them was like a kind of a spin on Pin the Tail on a Donkey, and it was a snowman. He had put the carrot on his nose. So we were doing the blindfold and playing that with the kids and everything. We just had a really, really, really good time. It was like probably the first time that we weren't all just sitting in front of the TV watching Alan Carr and his celebrity buddies get drunk. This was the first time that we had games, we were playing, we had tons of food, and just catching up with one another. Maybe it's just because we hadn't spent a lot of time together all year long, I don't know, but it was a really great evening. And then at about 10 to midnight, Gemma and I came home because we knew that we had to kind of keep the cats calm when the fireworks start going off locally. But and then watching the BBC special down by Big Ben on the Thames near the Eye, they blow off these amazing fireworks. And I always try and put a little film clip up on Facebook. This year, Queen was performing at Royal Albert Hall with Adam Lambert. And, you know, I don't know if it's because his pitch is a little bit similar to Freddie Mercury or it's his moves or what, but it was fantastic. If it can be found anywhere online, I highly recommend it if you love Queen. It was a really, really good concert. So that was really, really nice. So we toasted the New Year's in together, and I think believe we were in bed less than an hour later. So that went by rather fast. Not that it was uneventful either. It was a nice way to ring in the New Year, so that was good. And New Year's Day, I think we were couch sloths. We were sofa sloths all day. You know, we weren't about what are your resolutions, what are we going to do different, you know. I just kind of, you know, in my head, I had a few ideas in mind. Like, it's a new year, I want a few new plans. I don't know that I would call them resolutions, but I've got a few new plans. Starting, first one, I have updated my resume, or a CV, they call here, and I am dropping that off at the brand new pub that just opened within walking distance of the house called the Wallington Arms. So, actively searching for a little bit of part-time work, to not interfere too much with, you know, keeping up the house and the cooking and the cleaning and the laundry and the writing, but just something to get out a little bit and just for social reasons, more or less. So that should be interesting. And that's pretty much how we spent the holidays. It was fun. It was easy. I was glad I got to be in the States a little bit beforehand. And like I said, now I feel like everybody's kind of been hit with a wicked flu. My mother is so sick. I feel terrible for her. And I feel like it's just going around. Hazel was sick when we got in from the States. She picked us up. I got sick right after that. And then my mom is sick now. But I just through Facebook and social media and stuff, I feel like everybody has been just having a demon of a time with it. So bless your little heart. I feel so bad. Let's see, we got a couple of shout-outs here. Honestly, I think the biggest news, you know what, I'm just going to jump right to it. The biggest news is that Florida lifted the ban on same-sex marriages at 12:01, it was Tuesday the 6th. So at midnight at 12:01, Florida lifted the ban, and that was in Broward County. It was earlier in Miami-Dade, I think that was at 2 p.m. She Magazine was there at both, I don't know how they did it. They were downtown in Miami snapping pictures of the courthouse and all the same-sex couples that were there to get married. And then they hustled, got those up online and everything, and got situated to be down at the Broward County courthouse at midnight and were snapping pictures. And lo and behold, who was there but our very own Donna and Deb. So all the picking and the joking that we have done about them getting married, and it's done. I got a couple of text messages because we had planned on doing a show just before. We wanted to do a brief pre-wedding show to talk a little bit about what they had to do. There was some kind of test that they had to take. I was interested in hearing about that. Just to hear a little bit about it. But time got away, and they had to hustle. Everybody was kind of assembling there really early because the registrating started at 12:01. So you kind of wanted to be there and have your paperwork ready to shove in some civil government workers' face as soon as you got there. And it was packed because I've been looking at pictures all morning, and they of course sent me a ton of BlackBerry pictures through BBM to see it firsthand. So congratulations, you guys! I'm very happy for you, Deb. I'm so happy that you finally have married into the family. It's the Solomon Carters, I believe is how they presented themselves on Facebook, which is great because Deb always wanted to be a Jew. And Donna, I don't know, did you always want to be a wife? I don't know, but I'm very happy. I tried to talk her into wearing purple and brown. Didn't seem like that was happening because I noticed they were in powder blue and black. But that was lovely, and there were tons of people down there, and they were so excited. And I got to say, right here now, in my lifetime, I never thought that I would be saying that Florida was an equality state now. Like, I just never felt like I was going to say that. And to be honest with you, I don't know if you guys know this. If you listen to Kathy DeBono's show, Kathy is in, which is on Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard on LA Talk Radio. I happened to be looking at my Twitter, and I realized it was showtime for her. So I thought, you know what? I miss her. I'm going to call in. So I called in, and I was talking to DeBono and McNulty, which was very cool. I really, really missed them guys, and it was great to be able to catch up a little bit. But I formally announced that Donna and Deb were getting married, so the West Coast knew before the East Coast even knew. I don't care. It's gossip. It's news. I felt like I had to say it. But we were on the subject of resolutions and that kind of thing because it was their listener call-in day. And one of the questions was, how do I stick to my resolutions? How do I stay motivated? And we're going to get to that because I've got a couple of ideas of my own. I said, I thought if you put it out there on social media, you're kind of stuck to it. Like there's a little bit of accountability that comes along with making such an announcement. It's one thing, and I said this on her show, it's one thing to disappoint myself. Like, I'm used to that. Like, I'm used to setting goals and not even coming close and being disappointed. I don't like to disappoint others, and I think that's where it comes from. So my advice to their listener was, you know, put it out there for all to see, and that may help you stick to your resolutions. So our very own Donna and Deb are married, legally married, in the state of Florida. It just sounds weird coming out of my mouth saying that. Like, in the state of Florida, they are legally married, and they are two women. Granted, one doesn't really look like that, but they're two women, and they're legally married in the state of Florida. It's a monumental historical moment because Florida is such an old Republican white man rednecky state, and I just never thought that the lower half would beat the upper half, and it feels like we did. It was a lot of work, so congratulations to the entire state and all the queers that did so much work getting us to this point. And I say us because I still call Florida home, even though I live here. When I'm in Florida and I say home, I mean England. When I'm in England, I say home, I mean Florida. Sometimes I even mean Niagara Falls when I'm talking about the early stages of home. But so I'm so proud. I'm so proud. I'm so happy. So congratulations to you guys. And congratulations to a lot of people. There was a lot of marriages. Lily Tomlin and Jane Wagner being together 42 years actually got married on New Year's. So congratulations to them. Well done. Well done, you guys. Well done. not same-sex marriages. Cameron Diaz and Benji Madden from Good Charlotte got married on Monday. That was cool. So, like, seriously, Donna and Deb, you kind of share a wedding anniversary with Cameron Diaz and Benji Madden. How cool is that? Just announced earlier today, Stephen Fry and comedian Elliot Spencer have registered to marry over here in England. I don't know if you guys know. Stephen Fry is a very well-known gay guy who hosts a ton of different quiz shows, but most notable is IQ, I think. So he's 57 and Elliot's 27. So good luck to them, and that's a good on you, Stephen Fry. I know I always call you like a long-winded, insufferable bastard, but good on you for snagging yourself a young man, you old cougar, you. Also, congrats to Michelle Clooney. You guys remember Michelle from Queer as Folk. She played Melanie the Lawyer with Lindsay. Michelle Clooney and Bryan Singer, director of X-Men, who, you know, he's been under fire for, what, about a year and a half now, with all these alleged underage sex allegations and stuff that have really turned out to be just a bunch of shit from this guy who just keeps changing his stories and seems to have all fallen to pieces. Not much solid to believe, that's for sure. But he seems to have overcome all that. And Bryan Singer and Michelle Clooney once dated a long time ago, and they always remained close even after they broke up. And Bryan came out to Michelle. He's a out and proud gay man now, and they are best friends, and they're having a baby together. They had the baby, actually. So, Michelle and Bryan, congratulations on your son, baby Dashiell. I think he was born yesterday. So, I'm so happy for you. I know it's everything you guys wanted, and you have the most adorable little modern family ever. So, good for you. Let's see. What else is going on? Lots of congrats. Lots of congrats. Publix, hello. Same-sex health benefits now being offered to gay couples. So this has all worked out really well for you, Donna and Deb. Congrats to them. I want to say a big congratulations to BiancasKids.org, because even in the midst of their own tragedy, and I don't know if you guys know, you guys hear me talk about Italia and Jacques all the time. They are my mother and Rick's best friend. And that is Philly Debbie's mom and stepdad, her mom Italia, her stepdad Jacques. Well, Jacques underwent some minor surgery while we were home the first week of December, and he was released and he was home recovering, and something went awry, and he passed away very unexpectedly. And it hit everybody really, really hard. Excuse me. I feel so bad for the girls. They really thought of him as their dad, really. He's been around for so long, and I just feel terrible. It was this time of year. It was unexpected. He's such a wonderful, kind, talented, good-hearted, thoughtful, soft-spoken man that we're just going to miss so much. And in the midst of their own tragedy and their grief and their sorrow, Bianca's kids continued their holiday season granting wishes to both their North and South divisions of the from BiancasKids.org. So, Debbie, you continue to amaze me, and I feel for you, and I share your pain. All right, get your shit together. Okay. Also, shout out to AfterEllen.com for focusing on a great list of lesbian, bi, and trans books of 2014 with some notables to be expected, of course, like Sarah Waters and Patricia Cornwall and Jane Lynch topping the list, but a few that I missed, and that I really, I'm looking forward to now. They sound really good. Lori Sprecher's Pissing in a River featured Amanda, a punk rocker in a band called Lesbian Raincoat, and an activist who tries finding her footing in a world gone mad. That sounds pretty good. Ariel Schrag's Adam tells the tale of a teenage boy who's mistaken for a trans man by a lesbian who turns into his love interest. The story is only one that she could tell, and she does it in a raw, honest way. And obviously, it's based on her own, loosely based on her own experience in New York City in the early 2000s. So that sounds pretty good. Brittany Griner, you guys know, the WNBA star, her memoir, In My Skin, spoke frankly about the WNBA star's time spent as a bullied, alienated youth and how she came to feel unsupported by her coach, Baylor. That sounds pretty good. I mean, I think she's risen above it, but I understand having to talk about it, and I'm sure, this sounds really good. And I also want to give a special shout-out to Claire Lydon, whose newest book, The Long Weekend, has topped the Amazon lesbian fiction list over the holidays. And again, her latest podcast, episode 2 of the Lesbian Book Club, had over 500 downloads again. I think we're up to 6 now. So kudos to Claire. Keep up the good work, you guys. And follow it, listen to it, leave her some comments, encourage her. I think it's a really good show because it's not a book club in the traditional sense where everybody discusses a certain book that they've read. I love the fact that Claire is coming at lesbian fiction from all different angles, and that's what makes it a club, is that we're including authors, we are including publishers, we're including poets, and we're including international lesbian fiction writers. So I think it's really awesome that she is tackling this from all angles, because people have questions about all sorts of stuff. Her latest one, I think even the subject of fanfic is explored a little bit. So it's really a cool show, and I'm glad that we can say that My Lesbian Radio produces it, and it's on our stream for you, and it's free. So thank you, Claire. Love it, love it, love it. If you guys want to know more about Claire, you can go to clareleiden.co.uk, and that's Claire, C-L-A-R-E, Leiden, L-Y-D-O-N, .co.uk. Check her out. She's got good stuff. And I also want to give a huge shout out to She Magazine for another fantastic holiday edition. We didn't get to talk about this too much on the show before last, but your holiday edition with Leah Delary on the cover was terrific. It was a fun, fun interview, and play a clip for it. A clip for you guys in a minute, featuring Leah. It was a really fun time. She is, she's the queen of the F-bombs. I don't know any other way to say it. She's the queen of the F-bombs, but it was a fun interview, and it was a great December issue. The January issue is now out, and I think Jennifer Knapp is on the cover, and I've got a couple of Q&As with funny ladies, Suzanne Westenhofer and Michelle Ballin. So be sure and check it out at shemad.com. And then I am most certain in their upcoming issue, February, they will have a ton of pictures from all the marriages that they have photographed last night and tonight, yesterday. So good work, SheMag. You are all over the map covering what's important to us, and God bless you for that. Let's see. SheWired.com had a most comprehensive list of the top kick-ass lesbians of 2014. It was an extremely diverse list, including Megan Smith, a former executive with Google, and Planet Out. Oh my God, you guys remember Planet Out? She was appointed the White House Chief Technology Officer. It's pretty heavy stuff, so kudos to you, Megan Smith. Judith Levy and Stacey Yandel were confirmed as federal judges. And Mayaidi Rodriguez became a judge of the Puerto Rican Supreme Court. So there's a lot going on with our lesbian women in politics. Good for you. In the world of punditry, Rachel Maddow continued to command a devout audience. She's far from the only game in town, though, as CNN and the Daily Beast commentator Sally Cohn is gaining popularity. SheWired also has tons of lists for tops in 2014, including fashion, women in sports, top LGBT on TV, and more. So have a long, lingering browse and see a good summary of our gay 2014. For the ultimate roundup, there is an internet show called The Cracked Podcast that has a spectacular year-end review of all the top 10 lists on the internet, from tech to TV, from music to food, anything you could think of from any internet site out there. The show is called The Cracked Podcast. You can find it on Stitcher. Which, by the way, thank you, Stitcher. You have more than tripled our total of listeners since October on your site. And congrats to you for being purchased by Deezer. I feel like only great things are going to come of it. I can totally feel it. So good for you. I also want to give a serious shout-out to the podcast. I don't know if you guys have been have heard the buzz about this podcast called Serial. S-E-R-I-A-L, like serial killer. Serial, the podcast, is hosted by reporter Sandra Koenig, and she investigates the real-life murder involving the victim, a Baltimore high school student, Haman Lee, focusing on her boyfriend, Adnan Syed, the accused, who is serving a life sentence. He's actually denying the crime, but he is serving a life sentence for it. And the key witness, Jay Wilds, whose story is just like riddled with inconsistencies. It's a extremely intriguing podcast. Koenig explores the 15-year-old case extensively with interviews and evidence, transcripts, and it leaves you kind of to decide how you feel about it. It's been renewed for a second season, which is huge. Big-time celebs like Kristen Chenoweth tweet about being addicted to it. E! News reports that the podcast, and it's actually a spinoff from This American Life podcast, but they E! Is reporting that it's pulling in close to 5 million downloads in its debut season. I can't even imagine. Jesus, it's taken us 8 years to hit 3.5 million. Whew! So thank you, Serial, for putting podcasts like on the map and getting people more interested. And congratulations on getting renewed for season two. A few personal shout-outs. I just want to thank you, Sandra Sanchez, for my Tiho coffee. It finally just arrived right before Christmas. I know you mailed this out in, like, October, but it came right before Christmas, and it came right to my front door in a bag, which was covered in drug dog slobber. No, I'm kidding. Everything's fine. I got the dark roast. I got the regular. I'm super, super excited, and it made for an excellent Christmas morning. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. A personal shout out for our listener, Joy. You guys know her as Ayla Chicky. We know her as Joy. She is from the Sarasota area in Florida, and she is all about that dance, about that dance, about that dance. And she wants to spread the love. So just so you guys know that starting on January 7th, there are women's only West Coast Swing in Sarasota. And this is dance lessons taught by the gorgeous and professional Sabrina Paxman. So drop in. There's no commitment. It's $12 per lesson. And for more information, you can email l2dancesro@gmail.com. That's l2dancesro@gmail.com. The facility is at 4900 Fruitville, and that's behind KC Seafood. It's Wednesday night, 7:45 p.m., and that is starting January 7th. 1 hour class, 30-minute practice and mingle, and it's for women only. So, Joy, I'm so glad for you that this is up and running and off the ground. I hope more people get interested and take part. Good for you. And also a big holiday hug and a get better. Tons of good wishes, best wishes to Joe Seal, who's battling the big C. I think it's a little C, and that's the important thing, is that they caught everything early. And she is, she's being a big girl. She's doing what she needs to do. So big warm wishes to you, Joe. We love you, and we hope this is over and done with real quick. To Lori Collins, congratulations on your new crush, and I love your 11-year-old boy tactics by posting it on Facebook for all of us homies to see. Good for you. So you guys, I did promise you a little snippet of my SheMag interview. This is the interview with Leah Delaria that was in the December issue. So I just want to play a little snippet of that just to, so you guys know I really, really had a good time. And here's a little piece of me and Leah D.
This is going to work. This is not going to work. This is great. This is interesting.
Oh, no, I fucking loved it. It was the first time I'd read a pilot, and I can't tell you how long that I didn't have to make funny. it was funny.
That's
awesome. I mean, granted, I only had one line. I only had one line in that first, you know, that first episode. But I read the whole, you know, you read the whole pilot, and
sure.
I was completely blown away by it. I thought it was just really funny. And then as the cast started coming in, you know what I mean? Because,
yeah.
For example, when I was actually Joan hadn't been cast yet. Mark Freepod hasn't been cast yet. Jason Biggs hadn't been cast yet. So as the cast started pouring in, I was like, fuck yeah, this is going to be amazing. And, you know, with Jenny Beattie on it. And I mean, come on, Jenny Cohen. So you just knew. We knew. It was special.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You know, and because of Genji, you know, were you familiar with Weeds?
Of course. Right, honey.
Yep. It was
first
so
of all, Mary Louise Parker.
Yeah, oh
know,
my
everybody
God.
Wanted,
yeah.
Everybody wanted Mary Stuart Masterson and Fried Green Tomatoes. I wanted Mary Louise Parker. And, you know, I knew her from New York theater. I mean, she and I are the theater girls.
Yeah.
So we both work a lot for the public theater. Yeah. So we knew each other, and of course I watched Weeds, and of course I smoke pot on a daily basis. So I'm going to get to
Weeds. That's awesome.
Oh, you guys, I'm telling you, that's just a little tiny snippet of my interview with Leah Delaria. She is so freaking funny. I just had such a good time with her. And I didn't expect to. I thought she was going to be tough. You know, I thought it was going to be, I don't know why, I thought it was going to be a tough interview. I thought she was going to be a little bit scattered and all over the map because it kind of seems like that's how she lives her life. But it's really, it's calculated chaos. And that's the cool thing. And one of the best parts of the interview, and if you get a chance to go to SheMag.com, go to the December issue and read up on this. I was so impressed with the amount of followers that she has through social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter. She does really make an effort to respond to so many. And reason being that a lot of these are young girls. They're young butch girls. They're young trans FTMs. That reach out to her, and she takes it very personal, and she really believes in helping, mentoring, giving some solid advice. And it's really, really impressive. And I think you guys will all be impressed at some of the stuff she says about it. You know, and that kind of brings me a little bit. We talked a little bit about New Year's resolutions, and I don't dig it being called a resolution. It's a new year. It's just a new plan. I don't want to set myself up for any kind of failure, but there was something that I really want to talk to you guys about because it's really affected me, and I didn't expect it to. I'll tell you what. I don't know how you missed it if you did, but there was a story, a true story, about a 17-year-old in Cincinnati, Ohio, named Leah Alcorn. Not really. She was actually born Josh Ryan Alcorn, but wanted to transition, I think, and kind of thought of himself as a girl, and really was out to his classmates and family, and using the her way to describe. It's so sad. I can't. It's tough. Anyways, Leah left a suicide note on her Tumblr and proceeded to walk into oncoming traffic on Interstate 71 to her death at 2 a.m. on December 28th. On her blog, she writes, "My death needs to mean something," and states, "I'm never going to be happy either. I live the rest of my life as a lonely man who wishes he were a woman, or I live my life as a lonelier woman who hates herself. There's no winning." She alludes to her parents being responsible, kind of blaming them, stating, "I came out as gay at school, thinking that maybe if I eased into coming out as trans, that it would be less of a shock. Although the reaction from my friends was positive, my parents were pissed. They felt like I was attacking their image and that I was an embarrassment to them. They wanted me to be their perfect little straight Christian boy, and that's obviously not what I wanted. So they took me out of public school, they took away my laptop and phone, and they forbid me of getting on any sort of social media, completely isolating me from my friends. This was probably the part of my life when I was the most depressed, and I'm actually surprised I didn't kill myself. I was completely alone for 5 months. No friends, no support, no love, just my parents' disappointment and the cruelty of loneliness." Unfortunately, Leah's Tumblr account's been deleted, and her actual funeral was postponed as her parents fear protests for their safety. Petitions to get the name changed on Leah's tombstone are circulating, as well as vigils all over. Actually, global. There was one here, I think, in Soho that went on Sunday. And there's tons of articles now that are about trans awareness. Like, to me, this kid says my death needs to mean something. And I think that's what has affected me the most. So it's a truly, like, heartbreaking story, but it's not the only one. And all of them have an effect. Like, every time I read about a gay or a trans teen suicide or bullying, I'm like, I'm so gutted and sad. And I know that I actually say it. I say it out loud. I say it to myself. I vow to do something about it, to get more involved with our LGBT youth, to reach out, to call some organizations, to volunteer. And then my life gets in the way, and I forget about it. And I'm reminded of it the next time I read about another case. So I kind of had this idea about maybe, like, we could all make an effort this year at some point of somehow reaching out to our LGBT youth, however we can, in our own way, and even if it's just once, to try and make a difference and maybe save a life. Share a little wisdom, brighten the future, I don't know. But let's make a pact, you know, with each other. And, you know, listeners, friends, business partners too. You know, let's really make an effort. It doesn't have to be constant. It doesn't have to be chronic. At some point this year, somehow, however you can, in your own way, and like I said, even if it's just once, try and reach out and make a difference. And you guys who do it, write in. Tell us a bit about what you did, how it made you feel, if there's something you need from us, if we can help in some way. You know, we don't need to make a bunch of fanfare or hoopla about it, but if there's something we can do to help, let us know. And I sent this out, it's a short version, obviously, 140 characters. I sent this out on Twitter, I believe it was on New Year's Eve, and the view The View TV show picked up on it and favorited it and retweeted it to their 373,000 followers. So it's out there, man. There's no turning back. So you know, let's all see what we can do. You know. So as I said, you know, it's January, New Year, new plan. It also means the Golden Kitties are upon us. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Kind of. Kind of. They are on us in a way that we're going to start. We're really late this year, and I get that, but so much has been going on. Like I said, we've been sick, the holidays. Donna got married. What the fuck? Seriously. So we're a little bit late with the Golden Kitties, but before January ends, we will do a Golden Kitty show, and we encourage you guys to get involved with this. It shouldn't all be about us and what we enjoyed, you know, featuring and highlighting and whatnot. Let's hear from you. Like, if you have some suggestions about a category or a winner or something you liked, write in. Let us know. DeniseandDonna@gmail.com. Please get involved. We're super excited. You know, there's like 20, 30 categories. We're going to try and keep it light this year. We say that every year, and we end up with like 60 or 90. But no, seriously, we really want to try to keep it light this year because we did less shows. So it only makes sense. Where are we at here? Holy crap. It's such an emotional time of year. I mean, this is an emotional show. I feel like a baby. Anyways, listen, so here it is. Chick Music. That's where we're at. We're at Chick Music. And I want to tell you a little bit about a London-based quartet called Hawk. And they have just released a new video to accompany their song Hush. And this is off their forthcoming EP called Clock Hands. Clock, C-L-O-C-K. While the video may send you into a bit of a fit, the song itself is a really solid rock track, firmly rooted in the lead singer Julie Hawk's ghostly vocals. Set against the consistent push and pull of the instruments, it's really, really great stuff here. It's haunting. It's a melodic mix of music that kind of like sends you into a musical trance, if you will. And they have their latest EP, like I said, it's forthcoming. It's called Clock Hands. The EP, The Sum of All Things, is their last one. And this is a really eclectic blend of sounds and vocals as well. If you get a chance, they're on SoundCloud, and you can go to soundcloud.com/Hawk_official, and you will find them. And here I am on the site right now. This is a bit of the song called Hush. It's just fantastic, really. I also want to tell you there is a great cover of Tears for Fears, Head Over Heels. Do yourself a favor and listen to that when you get to their SoundCloud link. It's just fantastic. Pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff, I tell you. Here's a little bit of their Tears for Fears track that I was talking about. I just have to play a little bit for you. It's so good. It really is. It seems like a really amazing group, actually. I didn't expect to like their stuff as much as I do. All right, here we go. Ready for this?
Thank you. to your funeral and talk about the weather. But traditions I can trace against the child in your face won't escape my attention. You keep your distance with a system of touch and gentle persuasion. I'm lost in admiration. Could I paint you this much?
Pretty cool stuff, right? Totally dig it. Totally dig it. So anyways, again, that's soundcloud.com/hawk_official. Again, lead singer is Julie Hawk. Amazing vocals, right? Anyways, good stuff there. Just a little something from me to you for the Christmas holidays. what else we got here? Oh yeah, I got a couple of cool internet golden nuggets, and they're both food blogs. Because you know, whatever. I'm such a pig. I can't get enough food. Seriously, I can't get enough good food. I have to say, we've been, I don't know, you guys follow me on Facebook. I posted a picture of this pizza. Son of a bitch. It was so good. There is a couple of guys called the Pizza Pilgrims, and they have a place in Soho now, but they started off with like a food truck, and they do a few commercials on the Food Network, and they make the most amazing pizza, and Gemma looked up the recipe for the awesome crust, how to make the base for the pizza. We followed that, and we made these stellar pizzas. Seriously. So anyways, like, food is just always on my mind. Anyways, these two sites have caught my attention most recently. First one is www.foodnasty.blogspot.com. And this is Michael and Francesca of Los Angeles, an artist and a chef, who put some crazy twists on food and recipes and drinks and places. They go to some really cool, trendy places. It seems like they're like an artsy-fartsy couple who just like to blog, but it's interesting stuff, and I like anything that's got a twist to it, and this most certainly does. Some of their things... their drink recipes are just outrageous. And then there's this other one. I think I put this on my Facebook too, is www.garlicgirl.com. And this is colorful cooking with a Sicilian flair, most of which is simple, but with the flavorful taste explosions that will inevitably include garlic. Some easy stuff on here too. Not super difficult to follow. So that's another one of my New Year's plans. I'm saying a buddy year's plan. To do a little bit more cooking and be a little bit adventurous with it. You know, throw in a handful of chili flakes, whatever. Do your thing. So so that's a little bit. And then I don't know if you guys saw this, but on Donna's Facebook wall, I posted, I didn't know this was going on in the States. Nobody tells me anything. So I had to wait for it to get here to the UK on the Food Network. It's tripping out with Allie in Georgia, and I don't know if it's ended in the States or not, but it's on the Food Network. It's produced by Giada De Laurentiis, who, hello, recently single. Anyways, the show is really funny. It's like two besties that just kind of travel and pick up different things throughout their little adventure and then come home and kind of turn the bits and pieces of things that they've picked up, they've drank, they've eaten, they've enjoyed, and they put a spin on it, and they make a drink and an appetizer. And it's just pretty fun. They're funny girls. They look like they're having a really good time. And that's that's part of, I think, what makes it fun. They're cute, and they're funny, and they're not afraid to bust on each other, and I like that. I really enjoy that in a TV show. What else have we got here? A couple of festive drink recipes for you. Just a few. This was a lovely holiday cocktail that seemed so freaking easy. And I know that Prosecco is just kind of coming around in the States. So this will go over well with your buddies. And this is an ounce of cranberry juice and a bottle of Prosecco. And then if you have some frozen cranberries, roll them in sugar. And then all you're going to do is take a chilled champagne flute, add your cranberry juice, top it off with a bit of Prosecco. I mean, you only need like maybe an ounce and a half, 2 ounces of cranberry juice, and then fill the rest up with Prosecco. Roll your cranberries in the sugar and drop those frozen sugar-covered cranberries right into your cocktail. And that's it. Awesome, right? Simple. And refreshing. And then for the hardcore drinker that likes a bit more spirit in their drink, this was called a New Year's Cherry Smash. And this is simple, too. This is an ounce and a half of Jack Daniels, an ounce of cherry juice, a half ounce of Amaretto, and 2 ounces of cherry cola. And all you're going to do is add your cherry juice, some ice, your Jack Daniels, your Amaretto, shake that all up in a martini shaker, and then pour it into a tall glass with a few cracked cubes in there. Add your cherry cola and drop in 2 maraschino cherries. Boom! It's potent, it's festive, it's really good. So hopefully you will enjoy those and get a little bit of buzz, and remember that they came from me here on The Lesbian Lounge and MyLesbianRadio.com. Let's talk about some events, because there are events going on. Yeah, there are. There's a couple of things happening. I'll do the ones over here first. I'll do the ones I'm going to. I'm going to Polari on Friday, January 30th at the Level 5 Function Room at Royal Festival Hall, South Bank Center. Featured reader, writer, Stella Duffy. It's going to be a good time. And I believe Katie from Planet London is going to be there. So we'll be there. Come see us. All right. What else do we have going on? There's a few more things. You guys know Elfest Del Mar happens in La Mancha, Murcia, Spain, starting Friday, May 29th. I believe the tickets are on sale now at elfest.co.uk. So if you're planning on going to Spain for the Spain version of Elfest, get your Del Mar tickets now. Let's see. What else do we have going on? I believe there's a few more things. I don't want to just give you all UK things. I'm trying to find a few things that are going on over in the States, but I do believe people have taken me kind of off their lists, more or less, so can't really find too many things here that are going on. but there is quite a few things going on over here. There's a clam jam happening on Thursday at 8 o'clock at the Dalston Superstore. You can find Sandra Davenport there. Just thought I'd let you know. She Soho, Down and Out Student Night on January 20th at 8 p.m. I think DJ Amy B is going to be there for that. Hot Snatch number 2, January 10th, 9 o'clock at Blessings Bar in Spitalfields. You can find Effie Mae there. Miri is playing at the Magic Garden, and that is Wednesday, January 28th at 9 o'clock. These are all Facebook events, and you can search them. Jessie J is at the O2 on January 28th. You guys, just saying. She's at the O2 Academy, Brixton, Wednesday, January 28th. Wouldn't you love to see a little Jessie J in person? Monday, January 12th, the London Film Museum is featuring Bond in Motion, and that looks pretty cool. Like, that's at 6:30. That looks like that might be a good time. I'm not a big Bond fan, and I'll be honest, and I feel horrible saying this out loud, but the only movie that I actually sat through in a theater was Skyfall. How fucked up is that? But it's a big deal over here, and I feel like I'm getting myself a little bit more involved. So this might be a good way to go about that, right? Uh-huh. Anyways, that's really it. That's it. It's been an hour. I think that's enough of me. Let's talk about you, shall we? What do you think of me? Little line from Beaches. All right, fuckers, I'm out. I got shit to do. It's been wonderful catching up with you. Donna, I wish you all the best. I'm so super thrilled that you are a legal married woman now. Deb, thank you for making her that way. Vicky, I miss you. I miss you most. No, I don't. I miss Julie most. No, I don't. I miss all of you most. I don't even know. Anyways, it's been wonderful catching up. We will speak soon. I will try and get the bride to come to the microphone one of these days. Again, if you would like to join me as a guest host, as you see, I really am in dire need of one. I'm talking to you, Jacqueline Smith. in California. I'm talking to you, Lucy Burton in Birmingham, Mandy Burton in Birmingham, Walsall, more specifically. All you guys, you, Linda Bellingham in Bucharest, there's Skype. There's no reason why we can't do shows together. Any of you over in the States, no reason we can't do shows together. We have Skype. I have recording software. We're good to go. You know, Sandra Sanchez is in friggin' Winnipeg, and we did a show together. So there's no reason why you can't be a part of this right here, all this. I'm waving my hand, all this. I'm looking at you. Fingers, eyes, you. All right, folks, I'm out. It's been lovely. I wish I had a best of clip, but I don't. So next time, for sure. Okay, love you. Mean it. Bye-bye.